this is really short and sweet anyway. I was teaching a bunch of kids, they're about 6 or 7 recently, and I got them to write a poem for me. I showed them a picture of a swan, and I asked them to write a poem, and they struggled and struggled and struggled. And finally they come up with something, and one girl just really liked it, so it's 4 lines, short and sweet. And I'd say it the way she said, it's just swans. And she said, the swan is happy, the swan is sad, the swan is ignorant, the swan is alone. The end.
More of that, please. And now we have Conor McManus.
Thanks for this. This is a poem, sort of different sort for me. It's called Chess Game. I've lost a pawn to your rook in a move quite unexpected. I had my eye on your queen, left my pawn unprotected. You snuck up without warning, a planned move undetected. Now I'm playing defensively from a place I'd never expected. My last horse stands guard over his ebony king, whose army has scattered, his queen's on the wing. He's in a tight corner, his bishops are hampered, his end is at hand, he should never have tampered. Wait, the bishops have suffered, but he survived it unscathed. His knight still protects him, and an ambush he's laid. He uncovers your weak spot, first your rook he'll take out. In one move kill a pawn, then your queen he will rout. You raise up your drawbridge, well you know what I mean. You distractedly grope for the hand of your queen. But I have her lined up with your rooks and your pawns. It's in game for you when it finally dawns. But he takes stock for a moment, two pawns he'll expend, for killing you off would just mean the end. He'll come up from behind, his favourite position, and stealthily wage a war of contrition.
Well done. And now we have Richard.
First of all, I'd just like to thank Conor and the other poets that came up on Saturday night. It was a massive job, but the feedback we got afterwards, it was the highlight of the night, so thanks for everybody that contributed. I was going to say a piece on Saturday night, but it wasn't appropriate to do a fourth piece, so it's been inside my head trying to get out since then, so I'm going to get rid of it now. It was a song. Did anybody here remember Larry Cunningham, the singer? You do? Yeah, this is one of his less popular songs, but it was very appropriate for Saturday night. I'm just going to say it in verse. Well, I was out walking once down by the strand. I spied a young damsel. She was dressed up so grand, with feathers and fineries and jewels of gold. Oh, she looked like a damsel of 19 years old. Well, I hugged her and I squeezed her till she gave her consent, and off to be married the pair of us went. And after our marriage, this home I did stroll with my beautiful damsel of 19 years old. Then after the marriage I lay down to rest, to retire for the night with my fair maid so blessed. And up so the wasn't from her waist she did fold. Ah, she looked like a cuckoo of 19 years old. She took off her eyebrows, so fair and so fine. She took out her false teeth, and she looked 29. She took off her false wig, and a bald head foretold. She looked more like 90 than 19 years old. She took off her left leg way down from her knee. She took off her fingers, and she left on but 3. She took out her glass eye, the cap would be rolled. Oh, sweet holy Moses, she was 90 years old. Now all ye young fellas, when the court didn't ye go, examine dumb damsel from her head to her toe. Get married in time or you'll surely be sold to a blooming old damsel of 90 years old.
And now we have the one and only 14th Earl of Essex, Michael F. O'Donnell.
I mean, having published poets all evening,
and that. I mean, I was in Kilmarnock 2 days ago, and this fellow said, he said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm going to get a handball, a bongo, you know? And he went out with anybody. He says, what do you want damage? He says, a fiver each way.
Yeah. I actually know somebody that has a horse burger and they got really, really ill. They were seriously ill, actually. They were in hospital for quite a few days. Yeah. They're in a stable condition now.
Oh, God.
And now we have Jack Healy O'Connor.
Yeah, thanks millions for coming up on Saturday night. It actually made the whole fucking thing, and people were totally taken aback by it, and we got an awful lot of positive feedback. So I just want to say thank you very much to the wealthy resource that I found here in Ovale. Please God, we're going to keep doing something up in that market, and I'd love to keep building the poetry up there. A brown fox is caught lying in a trap, gnawing bone. Essential to its survival, a desire to return home. A human lies broke, rent overdue, kids at school, determined the depleted, who imploded in life, addicted to suffering, pain and strife. And remember those with no love in their life.
Thanks, Rosie. That was some reading from James. I was lucky enough to meet James up in Galway at the publication of this Words on the Web, first prize in the prose section, and a poem published. By the way, these seem to be bucking the trend. They've gone from Words on the Web to hard copy against the run of faith. Most people going the other way. But this is this is called The Viking. She'd have no truck with mock tall ships, bulimic tanks of liquid gold. I don't propose to bend a knee, and never would on step a mast to suit that bridge that hems us in. To harbour years of gangway life, we'll stay secured and keep each guest their posh hotel, my tumble home. My figurehead will often cast a jaundiced eye on Lego ships, with cargoes boxed in vivid stacks, bad-mannered ribs and soap dish boats that skim across our basin berth, and towering hulks decked out in glass where bubbling pools of idle rich old landsmen soak their golden hinds. Her secret wish has always been return again to naval days, the trill and ring of ordered steps, a manifest of fresh cadets to line the yards, parade of sail, those forecastle airs of every ilk, our master's voice across the poop, and gimbaled hours away offshore. The soundless mitt, a bosun's pet, his musing gaze as flying fish play and break about my lee cat head. In distant roads, the windless song, transcendent moon, her ebb and flow. We'd love to seek a further voyage, secluded shores I've yet to trace, like sights within the piper's sound. And yes, I miss this canvas press, feel foot ropes dance where top men tread. At harbour's mouth, a lash of salt to rinse my plunging plimsoll line, a creaking sheave, the quiet routine, ice broken clear in furrowed drills, the scything wind at each crow's nest, a field of wheat discharged at last.
Thank you.
Thanks, Seamus. And next up we have Noel O'Callaghan.
Thank you, Ollie. At the outset, I'd like to say that I'm here with a member of the writers and with my friends here. So I have two short poems, okay? The aftermath of the earthquake in Japan. The seismic shift of tectonic plates underneath the ocean floor sucked all of the water out from the shore. A massive tsunami was then created, many people drowned, their land devastated. Japan was the country directly in its path. It felt the full force of its deadly wrath, damaging the structure of its main nuclear station, causing the exposure of lethal radiation. They evacuated their citizens from their homes to safeguard their health. They set up exclusion zones. Its power wreaked havoc across the nation, leaving in its wake a wilderness of desolation. Now, this next one is about which when I talk about this girl with the no limbs, and this is about Joanna Raven. She went to New York with her family and eloquently addressed the United Nations Assembly, letting them know it was her ability through improvisation she overcame her disability. An advocate for people with amelia, her positive attitude inspired the world media. Invited to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as the representative for Amelia. She has charisma and a nice personality, speaks her mind with perfect clarity, has the resolve to do her endeavour to support others physically challenged like her. Her brother has made a documentary to raise funds for new technology. So God bless to Joanne, Mystery's favourite one, and congratulate her for what she has done. Thank you.
Another
from the Douglas Writers
Group next up is Frank Lee.
It's called A Funeral Bell. A funeral bell sounded along the way, rang out amid the city's gleaming towers, carried high over freshly upturned clay and mellowed the season's dying flowers. A lonely peal for one who has died, you deceased, a man, woman or child. Have many mourners gathered and cried? Have you passed unnoticed or denied? Did you draw up a bucket list, tick those done, retain those missed? Did you always turn to face the sun, pretend to you death would not come? Did you embrace all you ever dreamed, dive heroically off the Great Barrier Reef? Or was your life not what it seemed, perhaps a role often touched by grief? Did you die of a stroke or from cancer? Were you a nice person or a chancer? Were you creative, a poet or a dancer? A bell rings again, there is no answer. While the mournful bell rang loud, you were tired in a starched white shroud, as all around in an uncaring city crowd, no traffic stopped, not one head bowed. When faithful, comforting words are read, the funeral is finally done and all is said. The words of Mother Jones echo in my head. Fight like hell for the living, pray for the dead.
Thank you, Frank. Next up we have Pete Duffy.
About the Icelandic volcano, just something I had to pick up when I look for a poem, but when I came down there, so I said I'd bring this one. She spews her ire from the belly of the earth, mystic fire in a snowy white skirt, and her toxic mist deems flights inert as she makes her ancient roar. This tempest rage slept down below, as age-old sea-washed windswept shore, when molten rock hits heaven's door, she makes her ancient roar. A fertile earth has left the sea, 1,000,000 years of pregnancy, as dormant gas in freedom cries, she makes her ancient roar. The legacy of prophecy commits this time to history. While nature shows its awesome strength, she makes our ancient roar. This frozen land fulfills its quest, as skybound ash comes home to rest, and life abounds with mystery when she makes our ancient roar.
Find my ancient door. Like a plan. Now we have Ray Lovey, Emily Davis Fletcher. This is called Wash House and Mom. I presume that it was a place to, like, you know, do laundry and stuff back long ago, but when I knew it, it just stored things, old things, broken things. He has the power to steal light, blacken the house, TV, silence the phone, before jumping in his truck like one long scab, ripping up gravel and spinning it into the sunset, before Mom can say everything she wants to say. It is autumn. Leaves are falling in pairs. Her brother died in March. Her body hardens around a boy. Names those she heard who die of a broken heart. I miss cartoons, watch shadows sharpen along the walls, till she falls silent long enough for fear to pull me down, searching closets and dark slices behind doors. Find her behind the house, walking barefoot in gravel, skirt turned up into a pouch sagging, with the weight of rocks above her knees. I leave my shoes inside. The screen door smacks, makes Mom jump, spill her collection of dead seeds, eternal hard-headed eggs, brace myself for her curse, or please to run for help. Instead, she bends down, picks up a big one, turns her back on me and the house, stands, eyes the wash house with its rusted roof and door, that hangs like a scab to Texas pigs, slack barn, the sun's great clumsy escape through trees. In one quick streak, her right arm makes the window peel with laughter, then hold its breath in shock, become a gaping mouth, bearing jagged teeth. She knocks out each brown tooth, to my amazement, forget my feet bitten by gravel as I search for myself. When the laughter stops, there are no more fine points to disarm. We aim with our blind stones and wild throws, beat dust into the air like congested breath, jostle China dolls with cracked faces and faded eyes, blow holes in their skulls like missing puzzle pieces, shatter jars of nails worn down with Indian head pennies, spill old coffee cans of crusted fish hooks, shake Confederate coins chewed through their purse 100 years ago, belt the Singer sewing machine till it vibrates false all over, tear spiders from their nets connecting mosses, drive wasps out of corners where swollen muddy eyes stare from pupils that take in and out the door, opened once a month as he sits crushing beer cans in one motion while the sun slips away in a riot of color and the smell of pigs is too close to stay, is too familiar, oh, sorry, while the sun slips away in a riot of color and the smell of pigs is too familiar to stay close.
Thanks for that, Emily. And now we have Carol Holden.
I guess, all right, so I'm going to do something called the Dream Seed. He told them they planted the seeds of dreams in the furrows of the brows of their daughters and sons' lives. When they said bullshit, he said, what they'll need now is water and sunshine. He said, go to where dreams walk, climb to the clouds, at the top of the beanstalk, you'll see to the shroud. So follow the rabbits right over the rainbow. You can climb up the tresses that hang from the window. You can follow the breadcrumbs back out of the woods. Just look out for the girl with the red riding hood. Go tripping, trip-trapping right over the bridge. Throw the troll in the river if he challenges this. Sing all the dragons to sleep in their vaults, and never look back, for you might turn to salt. Never look down, for you walk on the sky. Throw this over your shoulder when danger is nigh. When asked for the password, give this in reply. Click both deals together and say it three times. Slippers of ruby, slippers of glass, look for the beauty that none could surpass. Seek in the mirrors that hang from the walls, look for the garden where night never falls. Treasure the feather that fell from the firebird's tail. Send your last arrow to the gap in the scales. No life skins the lion except its own claws. So with the puck of your hurl, send it down the hound's jaws. And now the forest calls and answers, and pan pipes an eerie tune. But they dine on monkey mutton and build blowguns from bamboo. Where it's deep and dark and wet and hot, and odd and fearful strange, there's no guessing what was in the pot. Your vision starts to change. Now you've come to meet the serpent, who bites behind, between the eyes, and there's no reason to be fearful for her. She seeks to make you wise. So wash your day wings in the rivers, at the settings of the sun. Seek the answers to the riddles, in the blister on your thumb. With whirls and loops, and nations' hoops, and cries of hooker hay, black elk rides with the buffalo, and people come to pray. So sing with the bullfrog, howl with the wolf god, the hoof and paw and wing, the tide will breed Persephone, when winter falls to spring. So when dressed as a crow the Morrigan comes, the cries will be reddened with bangs of drums, the snow will be reddened but none will melt, for when the sun joins the battle, there is want to be felt. So pull on your armour, follow the grail, tie yourself to a stone if your strength starts to fail, pull the ropes tight if you die standing up, drink from the chalice and drink from the cup, but don't let the water slip through your hands, and there's looms, weights and scissors and a trickle of sand, and the fates will lie the hero's thread with a blessing and a curse, where Judas paid the ferryman with the silver in his purse. So when you've wandered in the desert, the devil avoid the sea, you'll come across the ocean and craft the raft from twine and trees, and let the currents take your coracle to the shores of blessed isles, for you go to meet the oracle who knows you for your trials. For that seed grew in her garden, and it's opened out a flower, whose petals for each carry quarter of the goddess and her power. The further plains are yellow earth, as the petal of the east, the scarlet mouth of the sacred south brings healing to the feast. From holy water westernmost, the blue of rain appears, one petal white moves to the north, to cleanse you of your fears. And now we're compassed in that blossom, we are heavy on our stem, atop the root that brought us forth, to take us back again. So kiss the girl and kiss the frog, climb holy mountains clothed in fog, where youth's old fountain flows to sea, I'll follow you, you follow me. Shit, sorry, that's new.
No worries.
The odds are with us, the force is strong, the gods within us march us on. We are stories that we tell ourselves, the planets gather round, we are that tide, its rise and swells, the silence and the sound. He told them he planted the seeds of dreams in the furrows of the brows of their daughters and sons' minds. When they said bullshit, he said all they'll need now is water and sunshine.